as Christians, we have a tendency to try to be spiritual and don't realize that being spiritual, you have to include your soul. First thing I want you to realize is God has a mind. God gave us a mind, and he expects us to use it. The problem with mankind or humankind is that we try to use our mind without God's influence. That's where the problem comes in at. You know, we're a tri-type being. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. So each one of those are necessary. Without a spirit, there's no life. Without a mind, there's no way to express spirit. Without a body, you don't have a right to be here. Your body is your legal right to be in the flesh. All right? And so that's why in Genesis, the latter part of the 14th chapter, the Bible talks about Melchizedek, right? Yes. What's so significant about Melchizedek? Melchizedek received tithes of Abraham, right? But then in Hebrews, the 7th chapter, you'll see who Melchizedek really was. Matter of fact, turn there. Hebrews, the 7th chapter. For this, verse 1, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham from the returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being interpreted king of righteousness, after that also king of Salem, which is the king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. Who that is? God. Yeah, because watch. His why is God. Go back in the second verse. By interpretation, King, capital K, of righteousness. All right. Watch what it says. Which is King, capital King of Salem, which is King of Peace. Mm-hmm. Who is Jesus? The Prince of Peace. Right? So, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. Wow. Body of the priest continually. So my point for saying it is that Melchizedek was actually God in the flesh. And God was doing something very significant. God became flesh to receive tithes of Abraham. So a precedent was set. You can't give your tithe to God without giving it to a man called by God.
That's right.
So God became flesh. When God became, it gave him legal right to be in the earth and to participate in the natural. So your body is your, listen to that minute, your body is your permission to be in the natural. So all three are necessary. Your spirit gives you life. Your mind helps to express your spirit. And your body gives you a legal right to be here on the earth to express the spirit that you have. Is that making sense? So your tri-type being, so being that we're a tri-type being, we have to make our tri-type being work together so that we can efficiently be who God called us to be. Your body is the slave. Your mind is the manager. Your mind or your soul is the manager. Your spirit is king. So you cannot let those get out of order, because If you let your flesh rule, you're going to be in trouble. If you let your mind rule, you're going to be in trouble. You have to let your spirit rule. All right. So understanding that we're a tri-type being, it gives us a perspective in how to properly use each one of our tri-type being to our advantage. All right. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Bible also says, as God is, so are we in this world. Right. So what's the difference? All right. If I'm supposed to be like God in the world, as God is, so I am in this world, in the flesh. But the Bible also says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So if I'm not like God would be if he was here, but the Bible also says a man think, so how a man think in his heart, so is he. So it got to be based on how I think. That's stopping me from being like God. So your soul is very important. Go to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Your spirit and your soul are so closely related that the only thing can separate them is the word of God. Amen. Watch this, Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Heart, that word heart. That word heart is a combination of your spirit and your soul. Just not your spirit. It's your spirit and your soul. Without your mind, your spirit can't express itself in the natural. Thus, you got people who are in a coma. Their spirit's still here. Because their body still got life. Right. But their mind is trapped so they can't express themselves. Right. Is that making sense?
Yes, sir.
So your mind is to express what, to express your spirit. Now watch this. I the simplest definition of faith that I've ever heard, I read it out of a secular book. And then I understood Mark 11 and 22. Who knows what Mark 11, 22 says? Have faith in God, right? Faith is simply your thoughts put into action. That's what faith is, your thoughts put into action. So that's why Jesus came back and said, have faith in God. Other words, the thoughts that you put in action, make sure they come from God. You see? So faith is your thoughts put into action. So therefore, we're going to have to make use of our mind. You cannot put your mind on a back burner and say, I'm going to be all spirit, because then there's no expression. God said, Jeremiah 29, 11, what he says? What? What did he say? What did God say? I know what? The thoughts. The thoughts. Wait a minute. The Bible says God is a spirit. But Jeremiah say, God, I know the thoughts that I what?
Have towards you.
Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So if God got thoughts, God got a mind.
Right?
Right? Isaiah 1. We love Isaiah 1:19. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But we don't read before that. Verse 18. It says, come now and let us reason together, saith who?
The Lord.
Come, let us reason. God say, come, let's put our minds together. Let's think about this together. Let us reason together. Watch what happens. Though your sins be as scarlet. Sin, that word sin, that just means your actions. Though your actions be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Other words, God say, by the time you put your mind with my mind, all your actions are going to be pure and righteous, and they're going to work.
Amen.
So then you can put them in action. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
It's all about, it's talking about your thought process. Tonight, I just want to give you examples. We're going to start digging into the soul next week. But I want to give you examples of how much the mind is used in the Bible. And what happens, we've let the world system take things that God meant for us to use. And because we're scared, we say, oh, that's sacrilegious, or that's that new age stuff, or I can't be. Listen, God ain't got no problem you thinking. He just got you a problem thinking without him.
Right.
He said, come, let us reason together. Right? He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Joshua, the first chapter. Verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt do what?
Meditate.
How many of y'all ever meditated your spirit? You can't. Why can I not meditate with my spirit? Here's why. For there's nothing wrong with your spirit. Do you know what born again really, you know what born again really means? Born again really means that God gives you the right to reconnect your soul with your spirit. That's what coming alive to him is about. You having the ability to make your tri-type being work properly. That's what born again means. So now this is how I'm able to get answers that everybody else can't get, that the average person can't get. Why? Because my mind is now connected to an infinite spirit. Right?
Yes.
God lives in me. Right? So if God lives in me, I have infinite wisdom on the inside of me. So it allows my mind to connect. Sin is no longer there to sever the connection. My sin nature no longer is dominant to separate my soul from my spirit. Born again allows me to become alive to who God made me.
Yeah.
It allows me to become alive to God in me. See, it's not that God is not with everybody, because God is omnipresent.
Yes.
But the problem is everybody ain't recognizing him. So when I become born again, when I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, he washed all my sins away. Listen to me. He washed all my sins away. He allowed my mind to be reconnected to my spirit. So now I have an unlimited supply of answers to any problem I face. Here's one of the fallacies. We talked about this. Here's one of the fallacies of the Christian, of a Christian that just an average Christian that walks in and tries to live for God. All of us are looking for Eden. Everybody looking for Eden. And you ain't supposed to be in Eden. Oh, I'm messing with your religion. First time here, I'm messing with your religion already. Do you realize that Eden was a section of the earth?
Right.
Remember we talked about that? Right? So Eden was a place of training. Mm-hmm. We got a class setting here. And because of the apostolic, we all believe in divine order.
Right?
Right? Yeah. So you sitting here, you know you're not going to be distracted by him. Right. He knows you're not going to be distracted by him because we believe in divine order. So because of that, you're able to hear what I'm saying, take in what I'm saying, and begin to at least begin to grab it, understand it, and attempt to apply, right? Yes. The problem we have with our school system now is we go to a place of training, but because there's no control, the person left to the right might be clowning, therefore it's harder for me to learn. Eden was a controlled environment for Adam and Eve to learn in because they were going to have to go into the outer darkness anyway and duplicate what they were taught in the garden. Because God wanted them to be exposed to what he was talking about. He wanted to train them how he created what he talked about, what he's showing them, and wanted to teach them. So Adam and Eve had to make a decision where they're going to get the information from. Whether we're going to get it from God or we're going to get it from Satan. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
So whenever they decided to get it from Satan, God put them in a place they were already destined to go, but they left untrained. You got me?
Yes, sir.
So one of the fallacies for Christians is they're looking for Eden when they should be looking for darkness because they're the light.
Oh, come on. Wow.
All right. If I'm supposed to remain, watch this. Why is the word a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path if I'm not in darkness?
Wow.
Are y'all getting this?
Yes, sir.
So, instead of you were built to bring light to dark places. So if I'm built to bring light to dark places, then my mentality has to be that I am light.
Right.
I'm not trying to find light.
Right.
I am light. So I'm talking about the soul, and I'm still talking about the soul and how we think and why it's important we think this way. You have to understand that when you became born again, your mind reconnected to your spirit, and you are whole.
Yes. Yes.
You are whole. Now that you may be facing circumstances that's trying to get you to see otherwise, but you are whole. Now here's the thing. Your spirit already knows that. But your mind is trapped in the spirit world and the natural. So therefore, your mind accumulates information from both the inside and the outside.
Yeah.
So you have to realize, you have to make a decision which place is going to dominate your mind, the inside or the outside.
Inside.
See, because the outside already exists.
Right.
So all it's doing is feeding you information of stuff that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't watch it, it will dominate your thoughts. And therefore, you'll find yourself recycling events in your life instead of creating what you want, instead of creating your world. You will recycle what's already happened in your life. I don't know why this keeps happening to me. Why every time somebody, I get ahead, I get pulled back. It seems every time I get a little money in the bank, it seems like something come along and take it away. What is that? What is that? That's a process of your thought process.
Right.
That's not the greatest trick that the enemy has ever pulled on mankind hasn't changed. It's the same trick. He takes your ability, your power, your authority, goes around the corner, come back and uses it on you.
Come on. Yep. That's true.
Because he has no authority. He has no power.
That's right.
So the main way he controls you is by your thoughts.
That's right.
Satan can't access your spirit. He can't get to your spirit. He has to access you through your thoughts. Only God has access to your spirit. Why? Because he's there.
Yes.
Satan only access you through your thoughts. Notice what he did to Adam and Eve. Matter of fact, go to Genesis, the first chapter. Notice what he did, the second chapter. Notice what he did. He asked Eve a question. Third chapter. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord made. Verse 1. And he said to the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Dies just to mean simply separated from him. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The trick has not changed. He took Eve's thoughts and played with them. Caused her to entertain, caused Adam to entertain thoughts that they should have never entertained. That's why you have to guard. You have to guard your thoughts. Mm-hmm. You have to guard who you talk to.
That's right. Yes.
You have to guard what you listen to.
Yep.
You have to guard what you read. Because once you hear something, you have to deal with it.
Right. Yes.
Once you hear something, you have to deal with it. Once you see something, you have to deal with it.
Right.
You have to, every information you get. These whatever color walls you want to be. Everybody is going to have a different color to what this is. Once your eyes see the information, you got to now process it. That's thoughts. So you have to guard your thoughts because Satan's playground is your mind.
Yes.
And listen, he ain't going nowhere. Satan is not destined to go nowhere until God cast him into the lake of fire.
Yeah.
Until then, he's going to be running rampant trying to play with your thoughts. So you're just going to have to use the word of God. That's why Romans 12 and 2 is so important. You think you know that scripture, but you don't know it. The Bible says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Conform simply means to take the shape of. If you don't think for yourself, you will conform. But when you think for yourself, you transform. Be ye not conformed to the world, be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Watch this, that ye may be able to recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, other words, being able to recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God begins with a renewed
mind.
Not a renewed spirit. A renewed mind. A new way of thinking. A new way of processing thoughts. So, we as Christians can't put our mind on the shelf. Soon as you finish running, soon as you finish dancing, soon as you finish shouting, you got to think.
That's right.
All right. Second Chronicles 20:20. You don't have to turn there. But after they finish singing,
mm-hmm.
after they finish dancing, what they did? What they did? No, what they in the Second Chronicles 20:20? The Jehoshaphat. After they sung, after they danced, the Lord set ambushment on the five armies. Right? What they did after that?
They picked up all the spoil.
So what if they kept singing and dancing?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what we're doing in the church. That's what we do in the church. Is there anything wrong with singing? Nope. Is there anything wrong with dancing? Nope. Anything wrong with shouting? Nope. But when you finish, you're going to have to think. That's the problem with the church. We are so spiritual that we are no earthly good. Because we want to put our mind on the shelf. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. Psalm what, 37 and 4, right? Is it 37 and 4? 34 and 7? Or 37 and 4, one out of two. Mm-hmm. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you what?
Desires.
Desires. What are desires? Desires not in your spirit. Desires in your soul. So, if you ain't wanting nothing, you can. That's why you can delight yourself in the Lord. All you, and if you ain't desiring nothing, that's what he is giving you a desire. Because you ain't desiring nothing, so he gave it to you. You made it. That was easy. See, your mind expresses your spirit. It's okay to think. Watch this. God say, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. When he was talking, when he was speaking to that group of people, he was just trying to get them to see that his thoughts are superior, and he was talking to a group of unbelievers. Because notice he never said that we couldn't get those thoughts. Because if we couldn't get those thoughts, why would he say, come let us reason together? Why would he say in Romans 12, 2, be ye not conformed to the world, be ye transformed? See, I want you to understand, God will cause you to give you intelligence that's beyond your intelligence. God will give you intelligence beyond your neighbor's intelligence. God will give you intelligence beyond your enemy's intelligence. But if you want to set your mind on the shelf and you just want to walk around. See, I'm just giving you examples of using your mind. Jesus, when he was going to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he went to pray. He went further than the disciples. He left the disciples a certain place. He went to pray, right? When he came back, he found them what?
Sleep,
right? He said, watch this now. He said, cannot you tarry and watch and pray? He didn't just say pray. He said, watch and pray. So what happens is we have a tendency to pray an hour without meditating at all. Do you realize that when you pray in your heavenly language, let me explain how that process works. When you pray in your heavenly language, you're speaking in a tongue that no man knows, right? 1 Corinthians 14:2. You're speaking directly to God, right? The reason why that happens is because there's a principle that was set. Nothing can't happen until it's first spoken.
Right?
There couldn't be light till God spoke it. There's a precedent that was set. The reason why God gave us the gift of praying in the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues is because there are things that he wants to happen in the earth realm that we will not pray in English. If you knew all the things that God wanted you to accomplish, you wouldn't pray them. You wouldn't even ask for the wisdom on it. So now if I don't ever ask for the wisdom on it, and I don't ever mention it or verbally release it in the earth realm, it legally cannot happen. So that's why we have the gift of praying in the Holy Spirit, evidence speaking in tongues, so that we can release certain things in the earth realm. And watch this. God comes back and gives us the interpretation of what we've been praying.
Right.
Where do you think your instructions come from? That's why people who pray in the Holy Spirit get more instructions than those who don't.
Right.
That's why people who pray in the Holy Spirit have more power than those who don't. But God can't talk to you and to your spirit without your mind being involved.
Right.
How are you going to express what God wants you to do if you don't understand what he's saying? Is this making sense?
Yes, sir.
See, so that's why we can't put our mind on the shelf. Our mind has to be included. This is why you have to guard what you watch.
Right.
This is why he said, come, let us reason together so that your mind can be put with his, so that he can really show you who you are and how you're supposed to think.
Yeah.
See, Adam and Eve, I'm going to say something to you, and you were born a success, but your sin nature got you thinking otherwise. So now that you're born again, you have to retrain your mind to realize who I was originally. John, the first chapter. Watch this. John, the first chapter. And we're going to close here. John, the first chapter. Start at verse 12, very familiar scripture. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13 is one of my favorite scriptures behind Matthew 6:33, because verse 13 eliminates every excuse that a human can come up to with to why they're not successful. It eliminates every excuse as to why you cannot, listen to that, internet, eliminates every excuse. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Yes.
So if you alive and breathing right now, you're not here because your mom and daddy decided to get together. They were the avenue to get you here. They didn't plan you, or they did not plan you. If you don't know who your mama and daddy is, that doesn't matter.
That's right.
Because when you get born again, you have a right to bypass all your fleshly connections.
Yes.
And get reconnected to your original father.
Amen.
So everybody was born a success. It's just sin nature had us thinking another way.
Yeah.
But when you get born again, you have to come back to that realization that I am a success going somewhere to happen. And all these things that I'm facing are darkness that has to have light shone on them.
Yes. Yes.
See, it's a mentality that you have to. It's a mentality that you have to have. You're not going to get out your situation. You're not going to get out. The situations and the problems you're facing by just coming to church and receiving your word.
Right.
It's not going to happen that way. That's a part of the process, but that ain't how. You're going to have to put some of your thoughts in action. You're going to have to guard how you think.
Amen.
The law of attraction, that's Bible. Didn't he say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be what?
Added.
That sounds like attraction to me.
Yes.
But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That sounds like attraction. Matthew 6 earlier says, you don't have to ask for anything because your father already knows what you have.
Yeah.
See, This is why it's important that you read. It's important that you read. Do you know Apostle Paul had books that he carried with him that he read? Why? It expanded his thought process. See, what we have to not be afraid of as Christians is, let me say it this way. God is not intimidated with your intelligence.
Right. That's right.
He gave them to you.
That's right.
He's not intimidated by you thinking.
Right.
He's not intimidated by it at all. He wants you to think. Right? Yeah. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper, be in health, even as your
soul.
So if my soul not prospering, ain't nothing else gonna go. Because your soul or your mind is an expression, and we're gonna get into it. Your mind and your soul are not the same thing.
Wow.
We use them interchangeably, but it's not the same thing. Do you realize that you have a conscious mind and a subconscious mind? That's really what the soul is, the combination of the two. Your conscious mind and your subconscious. What's the difference between your conscious and your subconscious? We're gonna get into all this. Your subconscious mind, you can't see it. You can't touch it. It's just there. Your conscious mind is where your thoughts hang out at. So you have to learn how to use your conscious mind, work with your subconscious mind to help express your spirit. I'm going to leave y'all right there. We'll talk about it next week. Y'all have a good night.